Right. Come to the well. Yes. The technical stuff we're all dealing with, the stuff we're all dealing with today. So I invite you to just breathe back into that space, that beautiful prayer. Thank you, Jan, and our grounding root chakra today. And we're talking about roots. We're talking about gardens. How many of you this year for the first time have planted a garden? How many of you who've had gardens in the past have expanded your garden? How many have you first-time gardeners discovered that there are lots of things that like to eat everything you plant? Deer, insects, all manner of things that want to dig them up, and they say, thank you very much for dinner or lunch or whatever it is. So we're talking today about tending the garden and Mary Magdalene's story, actually. And Mary's a really interesting character. She is, other than Jesus's mother, Mary Magdalene is the most talked about, maybe misunderstood, maybe villainized. You have your definition. Everybody has their definition, and a number of scholars or theologians, there's that word, Ethiopians, theologians, emphasis on the right syllable, everybody's got their take on Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to go into actually the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. If you didn't know there was one that existed, there is. And I'm going to show you this book. We are this month talking about metaphysical Bible. This comes from the Nag Hammadi scriptures, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. And the reason that it's in here and the reason that we know that it is legitimate, shall we say, is that they were discovered, actually three copies of the same, virtually the same text. Two of them were in Greek. One of them was in the Coptic language, which is a very ancient language that took a whole lot of people a lot of time to figure out how to translate it. But Mary, as the common story in common Christianity, is that she was depicted as a whore, as a prostitute. This kind of blows a little bit of the lid off of it. It doesn't get specific, but if you go into further into what this is included in what's called the Nag Hammadi, which is the place in Egypt where these writings were discovered in 1945. And what we know about this from this, because it was written about her, this is not in her words per se, but she really was, you know, we know that she was with Jesus throughout his ministry. We know that she was there at his crucifixion. We know that she was the first one to go to the tomb and find his body not there. She was also the first person, we do have account of that, the first person that he appeared to during the 40 days between his crucifixion and his ascension. We got cats in the building this morning. It's awesome. All God's children love animals and flowers and plants. So what we know about Mary Magdalene further in this scripture is that she was a very close confidant, not only just a friend to Jesus and a supporter and devoted to his teachings, but she got a lot of the teachings that the rest of the disciples just couldn't wrap their heads around. So she had a very special connection to him because of that, and so he taught her things. He taught her things that he knew the other ones weren't going to get. And in the grander scheme of things along the way, during that 40-day period before he ascended and he came to visit them again, she got some more information from him, and the other disciples, the apostles, were like, hey, what did he say to you? And she told them, some really cool stuff. It was about the nature of matter. Like, we're talking quantum physics stuff way back then. And so she shared that with them. And it was so, they couldn't wrap their heads around it so much that some of them doubted, said, you know, well, that doesn't even sound like what Jesus would say, just because they didn't get it. And I got to say, when you reading this, and I'll read you a little bit to it, but they were kind of whiny. I'm just going to say that. These guys were kind of whiny. And one of them says to Mary, well, why would he tell you and not us? Kind of. It's like, and Philip pipes in and says, maybe it was Philip, I might have gotten that wrong. Says, wait a minute, why would she lie? She's been with us the whole time. She's been in, you know, in the teaching. She's been following. She's been, you know, supporting, doing all these kinds of things. Why would she lie about what Jesus told her to teach us? And they were upset because he had come back, lots of visitations. They're having these conversations, and he's going to go away again, and they're in grief. They're afraid. They're in grief, and he's told them, go out. Now you are apostles. Go out and teach what I have taught you. And they're like, and she just said, he made you human. He made you human. Understand that you have these human things and you're going to have to deal with it. Because one of the last things that he said before he left them was, I'm paraphrasing, of course, don't make any laws that you're not going to stick to yourselves. Be careful with the law. And he was talking about spiritual law and he was talking about human law. And I want to read this before I get too far away from it, because it goes into the thing here. So the Savior discusses the nature of matter. Will matter then ultimately be destroyed or not? Yeah. The Savior replied, every nature, every modeled form, every creature exists in and with each other. They will dissolve again into their own proper root. For the nature of matter, it is dissolved into what belongs to its nature. Whoever has ears should hear. So we heard that in the reading this morning as well from the Science of Mind, is we will take on whatever we perceive the nature of God to be. We will take on that form and vice versa. God will express through us as humans in our level of consciousness that understands we're expressing as humans. Same thing with animals, with everything else. That's the nature of matter. So he's talking about some heavy-duty stuff way back, okay? So then he talks about the nature of sin and the nature of good, and we in this teaching, we know that if we go back to the original meaning of the word sin, it just means we've missed the mark, we've missed the understanding. It's not that we've done something ridiculously horrid to another person or to ourselves. It's that we've missed the consciousness that's associated with it. So Peter says to him, you've been explaining every topic to us. Tell us one other thing. What is the sin of the world? And Jesus replies, there is no such thing as sin. Rather, you yourselves are what produces sin when you act in accordance with the nature of adultery, which is called sin. And adulterating, meaning you're missing the point. You're changing the meaning. You're trying to manipulate the law, spiritual law, to fit basically your comfort zone. So stop it. Stop it. He said that right there. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He did not say that. Then he continued, this is why you get sick and die, because you love what deceives you. Anyone who thinks should consider these things. Think about that in Buddhism as well. All life is suffering, right? Unless you think otherwise. Find a way around it. Find to see the good in it. Matter gave birth to a passion that has no image because it derives from what is contrary in nature. A disturbing confusion then occurred in the whole body. This is what I told you. Become content at heart while also remaining discontent. Indeed, become contented only in the presence of every true image of nature. We move on a few other things. The Savior's farewell. When the Blessed One had said these things, he greeted them all. Peace be with you. Acquire my peace within yourselves. Be on your guard so that no one deceives you by saying, look over here or look over there. For the child of humanity, and those are capitalized, child of humanity exists within you. Follow it. Those who search for it will find it. Go then, preach the good news about the kingdom. Do not lay down any rule beyond what I determined for you. Nor promulgate law like the lawgiver, or else you might be dominated by it. So don't make laws that you're not going to follow. Be impeccable with your word. We hear that in the Toltec teaching, in the Four Agreements. After he said these things, he said, see ya. And they were distressed and they wept greatly. And how are we going to go out to the rest of the world and announce the good news about the kingdom of the child of humanity? They said, if they didn't spare him, how will they spare us? So they were thinking about their message. He's taught them all this really cool stuff about how to live. And their first thought is, they might kill us too. So they're making it about them. Mary stood up. She greeted them all, addressing her brothers and sisters, which is another interesting point. They mention sisters in the room. Do not weep and be distressed, nor let your hearts be irresolute, for his grace will be with you all and will shelter you. Rather, we should praise the greatness, for he's prepared us and made us human beings. And when she said these things, she turned their heart toward the good, and they began to debate about the words. And that's when they get into the little snippy thing. Like Peter says, sister, we know the Savior loved you more than all other women. Tell us the words of the Savior that you remember, the things you know that we don't, because we haven't heard them. Yeah. Mary responded, I will teach you about what is hidden from you. And she began to speak. And so she starts talking about vision and mind, and she starts talking about the ascent of the soul. And she's talking about some pretty deep, heavy-duty stuff. And after these things is when they, you know, they're disputing, they're having a fight. Say what you will about these things, it was Andrew, who said, but I don't believe that the Savior said these things, for indeed these teachings are strange ideas. They just couldn't wrap their heads around it. And they were blaming her, saying this can't be true. And here we are thousands of years later still having women say things that men go, no, I don't believe that. Sorry. Tangent. But you see where I'm going with this is that there is, everything is context. And for so many, 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 many years, even before these were discovered, there were scholars and there were clerics that knew that these things existed. They just hadn't found them so they could destroy them. Then when they get found, oops, yep, they can't be true, except we know now with all of the research and the anthropologists and the archaeologists and the things that they can find, and we can test these things and date test them and all of that, to be able to say, yeah, there's another little piece of history, another piece of context that was missing from the greater story. When we talk about Mary Magdalene and her devotion, the metaphysical, meta meaning the many layers behind. When we say metaphysical, if you're not familiar with that, it is the meta, is like metadata, the stuff that's all packed into your computer that you don't see that's running in the background. The metaphysical meaning of Mary is devotion. It's commitment. It is communion. It is being in that place of being support and being basically being all in all the time without question. When we talk about planting our gardens, we use the garden metaphor a lot in New Thought teaching when we explain the law of creation, when we explain spiritual law, that the seed is the idea. The seed is the idea. The soil is the impersonal law that takes the seed and does what is built into that seed, the idea it's going to become a tree, it's going to become Sparty the cat, it's going to become a human being. The soil doesn't care. The soil is the law. The law just says yes. The law takes it and says, I see this seed. There's something, there's a divine design inside of it. I'm going to do what I do to let it grow, make it grow. We have to tend the garden. You know that. If you're a first-time planter and you're learning things this year about things you never knew about what plants do or don't do, you can throw seeds in the ground. You can throw them in the ground and leave them to their own devices. We can do that here in the Texas Hill Country with wildflowers. We basically let nature take its course, and it does. But if you are specifically in mind trying to plant peppers or tomatoes or corn or whatever it might be, you got to pay attention to what the design is there so that you know how to nurture it correctly. Mary Magdalene was that gardener to the master gardener, the master teacher. And again, I love how the reading lined up. The great example, not the great exception, that was Jesus as the teacher. And Mary Magdalene was there the whole time. through the stuff in the streets, through the crucifixion, through all of the dangers of Jesus becoming viewed and was killed for being basically a political radical with his teachings. How do we get rid of him? We kill him. She was there no matter what. That level of devotion, that level not only to him, but knew what he was teaching, what he was bringing to the world, was an extraordinary thing. And she ended up with the apostles then at the end saying, basically, get over yourselves, focus on the teaching. Set your stuff aside. Set your weedy selves aside. You are the weeds that are trying to choke this thing by getting so self-involved. Get over yourselves. He loved you. He picked you because he believed that you could go out and do these teachings. And so we look at that example in our own lives. Where are we stumbling over our own stuff? What are the things happening right now in this world? And there's a lot of things happening in this world right now. What are the things that we want to do something about? We want to tend to it. We want to find a way to pull the weeds out. We want to help things grow. We want to see the divine in everyone. We want to support those that we realize are not and have not been supported, that have been marginalized and set aside and pushed aside. What's the stumbling block for you? What's being asked of you right now? I know for me it is standing more solidly in the truth that I know and understand and in my relationship with the God that I know and understand. And that's coming from love with everything. On the days when it's really messy, on the days when it is really hard, on the days where my little ego self gets much bigger than I'd like it to, because I'm being shown something. I'm being shown something that maybe, yeah, I've kind of known it's been there and I haven't wanted to deal with it. You know, it's been one of those noxious weeds that's been working its way through the garden, and I'm like, yeah, I see it growing, but I'll get to it tomorrow. I'll get to it tomorrow. So what is that for you? What are you being called to do? There is a Facebook group that I will share with you, and it is called What Is Mine to Do? And I highly recommend you signing up for it. It is facilitated by our friend Tracy Brown from Dallas, Center for Spiritual Living. And Tracy has been a longtime friend, and she is also, she was one of my teachers. She was my diversity teacher when I was in school several years ago. I highly respect this woman. And if you are having difficulties thinking about the conversations about race right now, the conversations about inequity, inequality, dip your toe in the water and go to this page. That's where the conversations happen. If you don't know how to start a conversation, she can tell you how to start a conversation. There's a lot going on in the world right now. And oh, by the way, there's a pandemic happening as well. But there is, and I've said this before, and I will continue to say it all along, there is a divine design in all of this. I don't know what that is yet. I can't tell you, and I won't be the one to tell you, because we're left to figure it out for ourselves in the way that we are meant to show up. It's going to be different for every one of you. But there's also some things. Plant your rows straight and long, the song said earlier. We're all in this together. We can be in the same row. And you know, if you have planted gardens over a long period of time, you will plant the same seed in a long row, and every plant will come up just a little bit differently. They might all be zinnias. They might all be tomatoes. But they all come up in their own beautiful, unique way. So my challenge to you this week is be uncomfortable with the question. If you're not sure what yours is to do, get quiet. That's what they talked about. We hear it all the time throughout all Scripture is get quiet and listen. Ask the question, what is mine to do? Think about the discomfort of a seed. If you've seen videos of little baby plants where they do a cutaway on glass from the seed and it starts sprouting, they do a time lapse on it. You'll see that what happens first is that it'll put a root down before it pushes up. It needs the root to hold it solidly so that it has enough strength to push through the ground and go up. And so when it gets above the ground, you see the roots get bigger down below, the plant gets bigger up top. There is a balance. There is a balance to all of this. And it requires a lot of discomfort. It really does. Sorry to be the bearer of that news, but you already knew that. I know you already knew that because I know so many of you that are willing to go through the discomfort in order to grow and become even greater expressions of Spirit, of God, of the idea of God that you are. So if it helps to think about that little plant, that seed goes in the ground, it goes in the dark. It sits in the dark for a little while when it starts to do its thing. Butterflies do it too. They go into their little cocoons in the dark and they struggle. We've got to have some resistance. Otherwise, we never push. It's part of life. We know that. And I congratulate you on doing the work that you're doing right now. I congratulate you and thank you and honor you for stretching when you don't want to stretch because we don't really have a choice anymore. Moving into conversations that have needed to happen for a very long time are happening. And that's where I see that beautiful, devoted energy of Mary Magdalene, staying in it even when it stinks. I was going to say something else. Even when it stinks. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for trusting that there is a design in the seed that is you. You're going to grow. And if you don't want to, you can do the thing. Just go ahead, lay down and die. It's not what we prefer. But you're more than that, and you know that, and I know that. So let's have some meditation. Think about that seed. That seed could be an acorn. It could be the little tiny Bermuda grass. Just picture one. If you can, see your face on it. And if that's a little challenging, just see your heart. And wrap that heart, wrap that seed in as much love gently with so much care and devotion. The devotion, the decision to be devoted to seeing that seed grow. Grow vibrantly, grow beautifully. Knowing that it's going to get planted in the dirt, it's going to sit there. In that period of germination, it's going to take some time. And that's why it is important to be gentle. It's important to breathe and to be still and to listen. So that you know you're not going to overwater. You're not going to underwater. You can see the results on the physical plane when you're watching that seed grow. You know when there are weeds that may want to come around it. And you pull them gently. And you give it room. You give that seed room to push up against a pebble that might be under the soil. You give it time. You know that that sun, the ever-present sun, is going to warm it. You trust in the rainfall, and when the rain doesn't come, you find other ways. Your life is that seed. It takes patience. It takes being gentle. It takes being led sometimes. Being willing to be guided. But also being willing to stand strong when it might feel that the ground around you is very unsteady. It is being so devoted to love. So devoted to knowing and trusting and having faith that there is something so much greater than us. That is giving us guidance and direction every step of the way. As we grow, as you grow, that seed that you are grows. When you make it out into the sunshine, there's more growth happening there. What no longer is needed will be discarded, replaced by the new. Always, always, always in service to beauty and love. Know that you are love. That's the most important thing. Not being love, you are love. Not trying. Resting. You are those beautiful, unique, individualized expression of love of God. Honor that. Celebrate it. Breathe.